Greetings, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. Let me read a verse for you. We're going to continue today with Daniel chapter 8, where we were last week. I want to read verse 19, Daniel 8:19. And he said, "Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation." Now listen to this. "For at the time appointed, the end shall be." Wow. I want you to get, if you got a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to write Daniel 8:19. I want you to look at that later. And I want you to write a reference that I have written in my Bible here. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 20. It says about the good man that's gone. Remember, the woman shows up enticing the man, the man's on the street and the woman's up in the window. And she invites him in, you know, she says, for the good man, he's gone on a journey. He'll be back at the day appointed. It's very similar here. You know, this thing about the end time, it's all set. You and I don't know, but he does. And he created this universe, I believe, inside of time and space to last a specific amount of time. And that's it. 7,000 years counting the kingdom age. Which means he, at the end of the 6,000th year, the kingdom will begin. How close are we to that? Very close. And the calendars are messed up. It's hard to be exactly sure where we are. But one thing we do know, he's coming soon. He's coming at the day appointed. And that day is coming upon us very soon. We're going to continue in Daniel chapter 8 today. Doc is in the studio. And we're going to talk about some signs of the Antichrist and things like that from a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. You've heard that. Maybe you're confused about that. We're going to try to clear that up for you today. So the music's going to come on, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We're going to continue this week where we left off last week. We're going to review just for 2 minutes or so. We want to remind you that we are viewer-supported here at Prophecy in the Spotlight. And the networks that we're on, they expect to be paid. It costs a lot of money to be on national television. And the other networks we're on a lot of different networks. And we're dependent upon you, the viewer, the listeners, to help out if you can. Mm-hmm. We need people to partner with them. We have a lot of people who do that, and the bill comes every month or so. We have a bill that's due, and if you can help, if you'd like to talk to us, we'd love to chat with you, tell you what we're doing here, what our vision is, what we're all about. You can ask us anything you want. We would love to have your ear for a few minutes and explain to you what the ministry is all about here. And Doc and I get no salary here at Prophecy in the Spotlight. We do this for free. And we have our own ministries on the side. And we do this because we believe God's called us to do this, to get the word out there here in these last days that Jesus is getting ready to split heaven wide open and meet us in the clouds, take us out of here. I don't know about you, Doc, but I'm ready.
I'm ready for that, like the lightning out of the east.
Yep. Yeah, and now there's some people that I'm concerned about that I'm afraid are not ready for that, and I'd like to have some more time, but he's coming at the day appointed.
There's
no stopping that, and we don't know the exact day that's going to happen, or the day. We may not even know the exact year, but we know this. We're getting close. So we're going through the book of Daniel. I have a Daniel study guide here that I wrote. 162 pages. Doc has a DVD and some other things that are on the website on the book of Daniel. It'll be very helpful to you. Doc, Daniel is a very important book when it comes to prophecy. I don't think you can fully understand Revelation without Daniel.
Right.
And especially Daniel 9.
When when someone calls a Bible teacher or a pastor, says, "I'm getting ready to teach through the book of Revelation," my first thoughts is always out of two or three, but number one is, have you considered a thorough study of the book of Daniel first?
Yeah.
because they're so tied together that without having a good understanding, particularly of even what we're talking about here in the eighth chapter,
yeah,
man, there's so many things. And another thing, Dan, it's interesting when you do a little history of all of this. There were times whenever they put the book of Daniel in with the book of histories, because it is such a history book. And then they battle, well, does it belong in the book of prophecies? And finally, that's what won out, because the chapter we'll get through next week, chapter 9, that's the one in there that really is the all, like a chapter by itself outside of the rest of the book about a timing for Israel.
Yeah. And Daniel 9:24-27.
Yes.
Most important passage probably in the Bible to understand end time events.
And that's what's foreshadowed that we touched on last week, and we ran way out of time. That foreshadowing of Epiphanes, that simply means a name or a title that God is manifest, declaring himself to be God. And then the timing of the chapters. Let's bring this out again, but we talked about it a couple of times in sessions past, that when you get to chapter 5 and 6, you realize that these chapters, when you study it a little closer, are not in chronological time. Because you have the story in chapter 5 of the ending of the Babylonian kingdom. And here in chapter number 8, you're in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar.
Right. Verse 1 in chapter 8, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. Yeah. That's the Babylonian kingdom.
So when we read over in chapter 5 that the handwriting on a wall, Daniel has probably, this vision of chapter 8 must still be fresh on his mind.
Yeah.
And he knows that the ram that we talked about last week that's got one bigger horn than the other, he knows that that's the vision he got prior to this, found in chapter 7, of the bear whose one shoulder was bigger than the other. He knows that's the Persian kingdom. He knows that the Persians are working hard at overthrowing the Babylonian kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sees that writing on the wall, he knows what it means. You've been found wanting and weighed in the balance. And he was easy to say, here it comes, your demise is here.
All right, well, Doc, let's go a little further here, and because we didn't feel like we got far enough, so we decided to do a second week on this.
It's important what we're getting ready to, I think, talk about.
Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 are so critical to the entire book of Daniel and history itself.
Mm-hmm.
They give the whole history from 605 B.C. to the end of the kingdom age. Yeah. The stone cut out without hands.
And the millennial reign.
Yep. Yeah. And this story in chapter 8 takes place at the end of the third kingdom, which is Persia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, the second kingdom, I'm sorry. You got Babylon, then you got the Medes and the Persians, then you got Greece, then you got Rome, and then the revived Roman Empire were just about there.
In this eighth chapter is the unveiling of what begins with the Persian kingdom at the end of the Babylonians. That's the ram with two horns that's destroyed with a goat with one horn, which is Alexander the Great and the Greeks, and it even brings you all the way up to almost the time of Christ some events in the history of Israel.
Though they're not mentioned, they're fighting the Romans at the end of the end of the chapter here. So you got the ram, which is Persia. The two horns of the ram are the two leaders, Darius and Cyrus, basically. The goat comes along, that's Greece. The horn is Alexander the Great, the leader of Greece. And we talked about the death of his father, and then he takes over at the age of 20.
Yeah.
And within a few years, by 322 BC, he becomes the leader of the world knew it in that day. Yeah.
And he only lived age 34.
Yep. Yeah. And he's known in history as Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm.
Died at the age of 34, and his four generals will divide up the land, and they'll rule the kingdom.
Because when you're studying in prophecy, horns, mountains, trees, maybe others are not thinking of the one, but all three of these are always used symbolic of kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so the horns is a picture of the power and authority of a kingdom.
Yeah, then the timeline in chapter 8 moves to the future, mm-hmm. near the second half of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Or near the end of the kingdom, really.
Because it brings you actually the little horn that rises up out of those four horns. I know everybody says, well, that's the Antichrist because that's the little horn. Well, yes and no. Because this little horn that we see here, we have the benefit of looking back through history. That little horn was going to be a man who's going to call himself God manifested. And he is going to do some things because he hates Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not much different than the spirit of the Persian fallen angel, evidently, that's behind what we're seeing today.
Yeah.
Why does Iran hate Israel so bad? I mean,
yeah.
What have they done to them?
Yeah.
And so it is out of the Seleucid Empire, one of the four kings of Alexander, that eventually, through wars and battles, through that lineage is going to come the beginnings of the Roman Empire. And we think of the Roman Empire as something that's in the year 300s. No, that's when the Roman Empire was morphed together with
religion.
Religion. They called it Christian, but it wasn't Christian.
Yeah.
The Roman Empire had been going for almost 200 years or so before the time of Christ. And so this little horn is actually a picture of the Antichrist. It's amazing how God gave a prophecy. We call it a dual prophecy. But it's amazing. God gave us a prophecy and gave you an event and the actions of that event as a picture of what's going to come later that's even greater in scope than this.
Now, my chart, I have a chart on page 105. The world kingdom, 605 Babylon, 536 BC, Media Persia, Greece, 322 with Alexander Great, Rome, 63 BC. Mm-hmm. So Christ comes on the scene 30 AD. He's 30 years old when he comes on the scene.
But,
and so it's almost 100 years.
This is all morphing morphing together here.
So Rome and Greece existed together. Yes. We're fighting each other. And eventually Rome overtakes them in probably 63 BC. The Antichrist kingdom, the date of that is still to be determined. But it's been already determined up
there. Well, his kingdom, I believe, is already here. His reign just hasn't
started. And I can tell you when
yet.
Christ's kingdom starts, the year 6000. Yeah. That's when that one starts. Now, where are we on that timeline?
And I had somebody ask me the other day, and you get questions too. A serious individual, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, because they listen to a lot of programs like ours. And the question was, is it really going to be a resurrected David sitting on his throne? There's not going to be such thing as reincarnation. And the prophecy never was about David, but a descendant of David to sit upon his throne.
Yeah.
And Christ is in that physical realm when you look at Matthew's account of the lineage of Christ.
Yeah.
But yes, that kingdom's coming.
So let's Antiochus Epiphanes, a name that most prophecy people know the name. They may not understand it all. They may not be able to sit down and explain it to somebody. So I want to put this on the bottom shelf. He came through them one of those four generals.
Yes, his lineage.
The lineage of him.
There you go.
This man comes along. The piece of property that he's the head of, because he's one of them four that still exist. Those four leaders ruled.
And it's rapidly becoming the most important, strong one.
And it just so happens that Israel is in that realm that he, and I have a picture of that in the book, the realm that this one guy was over. And he had a hatred for the Jews. There may be a reason for that.
Well, I think the reason was the Jews, ever since they went back after the Persians let them go back. From that point on,
they want to be
self-ruling, sovereign again.
Yeah.
And so they're constantly fighting the powers to be.
And they're talking about a prophesied king that's going to come and set them free.
Yeah. And at that time, they were looking at Daniel's prophecy, trying to do the math. Though we know by 134 A.D., they really monkeyed with their math to try to prove that at the time it was it. So they've always wanted it. Even in the time of Christ, one of the apostles was one of those. We would call him a terrorist, to speak, today.
This man is called the little horn in Daniel 8:8 and 8:9. But we know he's not the little horn of chapter 7.
No.
That's the Antichrist.
That's right.
But the fact that he's called the little horn is a sign here that
it is
he is a type and shadow of the future one.
And it's the fact that he has risen out of this beast, because the Antichrist is going to be the one that rises as the eighth kingdom of those Gentile kingdoms that are listed in the book of Revelation, the eighth kingdom.
So Daniel has the vision just before the Persian Empire stormed the city. It happens just as God said, the handwriting on the wall, you're found wanting, that Belshazzar is going to be killed.
Yep.
And the Persians and the Medes are going to take over. Daniel's going to have favor. He's going to continue.
He's going to continue ruling.
The next chapter six, the lion's den. Daniel's in great favor with Darius.
That's toward the end of that Persian reign through there. He'd been there. Daniel's might have been 80 years old by the time of that lion's den story.
The great horn is broken. That's not to be confused with the little horn. The great horn is Alexander the Great. Mm-hmm. And so that horn is broken off. The four generals take over. Right. And through 100 years or so later, this event takes place.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you read the event, he causes a desolation at the temple. And so a lot of people get this mixed up with the Antichrist that's in the future, who's going to cause the oblation to cease.
And when you read through here, there are verses that you read, and you know this can't be him. This is pointing to somebody else. That's dual prophecy.
By the time of Christ, about maybe 200 years after this event takes place, you're going to find that when Jesus refers to the abomination in Matthew, I don't remember what chapter it is, but Matthew records Jesus saying, as it was recorded in Daniel, talking about the desolation
and
abomination. And so it's recorded. It's something that they can relate to from their history, but at the same time, if Jesus is saying it, it's because it's a prophecy that wasn't just about what happened historically at that time. It's about something that is yet future to happen, and is still yet future to us.
Now, look, let me just read some of this. We read earlier, at the time appointed the end shall be. This is chapter 8, now verse 20. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. Mm-hmm. Verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, those the four generals.
Four generals.
Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance.
Yes.
And understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, that's the Antichrist, but it's also Antichus.
It was Antichus.
Yeah.
In this place, but it is a picture of the Antichrist yet to come.
In verse 24, and his power shall be mighty. See, these are attributes not of Antichus, but the man of sin.
That's where people can get mixed up here.
Yeah. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He's going to be Satan's power.
Yeah.
He shall destroy wonderfully. He shall prosper and practice. He shall destroy. You look at any commentary on the Antichrist, they'll be quoting this for the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true,
and
but
it
it's not just the Antichrist.
It's the character traits of the Antichrist to come. But this is a real man at that time.
He shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He's going to try to kill all the Jews. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper. Yep. People, I use that all the time.
Sure. You hear me?
Yeah.
One of the things the Antichrist is going to do is help the people's economics of the world.
Yeah. In his hand, and he shall magnify himself.
If you do a little history, you realize that some of this could not have been fulfilled
with Antichrist. Yeah. And by peace shall destroy many. I mean, that's right out of Matthew 24. Yeah. When they say shall peace, then sudden destruction. Yeah. And that's
1 Corinthians chapter 5.
He shall also stand up against the prince of princes.
Yep.
Well, that's Christ.
Yep.
Well, Christ isn't here yet.
Yep.
So, the dual prophecy here, very important.
And there's another thing, I don't want us to run out of time on it, but it talks about the 2,300 days that are inserted in here. I should have written it down where that phrase is anyway. This is not my normal study Bible. This is one I just keep here. But 2,300 days between, what's going to happen is Antichrist is going to set up a picture of Zeus in the temple. And then he's going to offer pigs on the altar. And this is going to carry on for almost 4 or 5, some say as much as 7 years. It's a lengthy period of time when this desecration and abomination has taken place. And if you've studied your Bible or history, you know of the Maccabees. And this is when they rise up. He dies, and the Maccabees win a short victory. They take all the stones that have been polluted, and they put them in a place because they say that we don't know what to do with them. They were the original stones put in here. We don't know what to do with them, so they put them in a safe until a prophet in the future would tell them what to do with them. But it had been polluted, so they brought new stones in, rebuilt the altar, and sanctified it all in order to go back. It's amazing from the day they say, you put the math together, from the time of the first pig's offering to the day of the dedication of the new altar was exactly 2,300 days.
Okay.
6 years, 3 months, and 18 days.
And the verse is verse 14, but okay. Let me read in verse 11. Yea, he magnified himself.
Yes.
Even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. You can go to Matthew 24 and see that. And Matthew 24 says, see Daniel.
And that's exactly what Antichrist did.
Yep. The daily sacrifice taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? That's abomination of desolation. Mm-hmm. To give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. Verse 14 is the verse you're talking about.
That's the one
he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed.
Yeah.
And it came to pass, verse 15, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, he's going to send somebody, and then listen to this. In verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, I fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision.
It's amazing.
The vision's talking about the end time.
And next week, when we get to chapter 9, we're going to find the same Gabriel is going to visit again and give another vision and understand. But 2,300 days, he gave them. Here's the thing about it that I think is important. God demonstrated an affinity, he did exactly what the Bible said physically, and it was exactly 2,300 days. God, man, aren't you glad you serve a God who knows exactly the days and exactly the beginning and the ends?
Well, let's close with this, and then we've got a few lessons here. I highlighted this in the book after I, Daniel 8, 23 to 27, which we didn't read all that yet, but Daniel was faint. He fainted. He was sick certain days. God's going to tell him some terrible things here. By peace shall destroy many, he shall stand up against the prince of princes. He shall be broken without hand. Daniel gets sick and faints hearing this. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick. Verse 27, certain days afterward, I rose up and told the king's and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it.
Right.
See, it wasn't for them.
It was for the last generation. Because he says it's for a time future.
So I wrote this. Keep in mind, you and I are reading the account of this terrible bloodshed via words and symbolism. We're talking about Antiochus defying the temple. Right. He killed them and defiled it. Many were killed.
Oh, yes.
And Daniel, you and I read this, but Daniel seeing this in a vision.
Yep.
Kind of like seeing a live video of it all. This would explain his reaction. I'm not saying he saw actual people in his vision. I believe he probably saw the symbolism that he wrote about, but he knew what it meant.
But the angel gave him enough understanding to know that it was of men.
Yeah, I mean, he was sick certain days. He fainted. Yeah. He had to have known that it was his people dying here. Yeah. And I believe he saw symbolism as we're reading it, but these were his people. And it must have been more vivid to see in this vision that he had. And so let's close with a few lessons here. Number one, kings and kingdoms come and go.
Yes.
They come and go. They come for a while and they're gone. And number two, keep your focus on God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. Lay up not up for yourself treasures upon earth in this kingdom.
Absolutely.
But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, God often uses tyrants to do his will.
Yes.
He uses a Nebuchadnezzar, uses a Hitler.
Yes.
And number four, we overcome evil with good.
Mm.
And lastly, kingdoms are represented by wild beasts because kingdoms cannot be tamed.
Yeah.
And as a wild beast cannot be tamed.
Right.
And I like this. After being sick for a few days, it says, afterward I rose up and I did the king's business.
Yep.
This is what God's people need to do while we're here. We need to be about the king's business.
Absolutely. And realize that this whole vision, he closes it out in 26, it is, shall be for many days. In other words, it's really way out in the future from that point. It's not way out there today.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. Contact us. Call, email, send a message. We'd love to talk to you. So until next time, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. The website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word
of God. That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. We got a very exciting show for you today, a very sobering show. As you remember, last week, during Christmas week, just before Christmas, our show was about what happened in 2023, looking back on 2023. Well, this week, as we told you, we're going to turn that around. We're going to look forward. What's coming in 2024? Doc is in the studio. We've each compiled a list. We'll never get to half of them. But we're gonna try to pick out the most important things that we came up with. Things that we think may be coming this year. You're not going to want to miss this. We're not trying to scare you. We're trying to educate you. And we're trying to prepare you or get you to get prepared for some bad things that are coming, because we may still be here before the rapture and many of these things happen. So stand by. Hey, everybody, welcome. Brother Goodwin here and Dr. Charles Hilton Biddle. Thanks for watching the show today. Don't forget, we're on CTN every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Many of you are watching us right now on CTN. We're also on VTN, Victory Television Network, in Little Rock, Memphis area, all of Arkansas, and some surrounding areas of Missouri. Every Saturday afternoon, 2:30, you can watch our same shows right there. We're on pray.com. At least for another week or two, and we'll be talking about that in next week's show, what's coming with that, because that was a temporary thing, and we raised some money. We went on for a couple months, so we're probably going to only be on a couple more weeks, so we'll tell you more about that later. But those of you on pray.com, if you're watching us on your app on pray.com, we want you to know we're only here for another week or two. And you'll need to, if you like our show, you'll need to find us on YouTube. Just go to ProphecyInTheSpotlight.com. It's the best thing to do. Everything's there. The Facebook page, YouTube, Rumble, all of that's right there on our website. And we'd sure love for you to stay with us. Okay? And all right, so we're on the radio in many locations, but you can find all that on the website. And we sure appreciate those of you who support us. We're a viewer-supported ministry. Doc and I get no salary here. The money that comes in goes to keep us on the air. And we're starting in on a new year, Doc, and
a new cycle.
And I think we got about another week to go, and we got to pay the big bill. So if you haven't given yet, or you've been waiting for your chance, now's your time. We could sure use your help right now. Just go to the website or call the 800 number or write a check and send it to the address that pops up here on the screen. And contact us if you need any help with that, and we'll help you, or somebody will answer the phone and help you. Doc, this is kind of a sobering show, but I've been looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
Because I really think some bad stuff's coming this year, this coming year, 2024.
Well, the closer we get to the end of the church age, the more complicated things are going to get for humanity.
Yeah.
We've read and studied prophecy too long.
We're going to have you read a verse in just a second. We've got so much we want to get out today, and I'm going to try to get out of the way and get this said. But the next show we do is going to be about what we're going in our ministry, what Prophecy Spotlight has planned for this coming year. We're going to touch on that next week, but we're also going to do a show. I just can't help myself. We got to do it. It's 2030. is a very interesting yep. year, not only for Christians, but for the world. Right. All the three-letter global agencies all have a 2030 agenda.
Yes.
The health department, World Health, I mean, all of them. They all have 2030 seems to be the year that they all hit their high point and everything falls into place.
Well, we've read it and we know that the tribulation's coming. We know what's going to happen in the middle of tribulation. We know what's going to happen to the end of tribulation. What we don't often think of is that just because prophecy said it happened, we don't often think that God's allowing the stage to be set
of course,
by
yeah.
by the Gentile leaders of the world. And that's exactly yeah. what it is.
And and also God looked and saw it happen
yep.
and told us about
God
it in advance.
And so God's not making any of this happen. He just knew that
that's
this
right.
is what the world was going to do. And it's a part of the overall plan.
Yep.
To close
there are a few things that God made happen. Galatians
oh,
talks
yes.
about in the fullness of time.
Yes.
Christ came into the world. And so that wasn't going to
oh,
be
there
changed.
Are things. I told the crowd where I preached today. There are things that definitely God did.
Yeah.
And there are things that Gentile leaders of the world did. But God didn't make them do
right.
that just because it's in prophecy.
Right. That's right.
And same way with Israel. I mean, Israel is here because God wanted them back. But people don't realize that the Gentile power behind it wants Jerusalem for its headquarters. And that's
yep.
what the Antichrist is going to do in the middle of tribulation. So
we're
seeing it come.
Within the next week or two, we're going to talk about 2030.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the possibilities, and I've done some live streams about this, the possibilities that 2030 is actually somewhere around the middle of the tribulation.
It could well be. Yeah.
Now, we don't like that because that means
yeah.
we've got a couple more years
a little
to go.
While longer. No, but that gives us more time to do evangelistic work.
Yeah.
But we better get to our subject here.
All right, so you got a verse for us in
yes.
Psalms chapter 2.
Psalms chapter 2, I think it's very prophetic in its nature. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? We're watching people rage all over the world. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Boy, does that ever sound like today. And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That is where we're living today. The heathen are raging in the streets everywhere in the world. The leadership, political leadership in the world, it's almost like they got a crew reading the Bible to find out what God said not to do so they can legislate that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the fulfillment of that in our right now. This
All
is
right.
where we are.
So we're coming into 2024. You and I come up with some things that we see on the horizon. It doesn't mean they're going to happen in 2024,
right.
but these are some things that we see that could happen.
Right.
So why don't you start us off?
Well, in line with that, it's the fact that we're going to see a continued increase in the hatred of Christianity. You're going to see more and more animosity. You're going to see in the Christian world, quote unquote, you're going to see more liberalism in it. You're going to see more drifting toward the fables, away from the truth. All of it is tied together with what we're seeing right now. You're going to watch what's happening in churches that are falling by the wayside or falling, as you often talk about, going into fables. This year, you're going to see a greater movement in that direction.
That's why, Doc, and you wrote a couple chapters in the book. That book was so important in my mind, The Great End Time
yes.
Distraction. We're talking about Nephilim and fallen angels
yep.
and UFOs, and it's sci-fi, and it's fairy.
Well,
much of it is just
fairy
tale.
That's one of the things you said you've got on your list.
It UFOs. Is on my list. I really believe that a big UFO
yep.
appearance is coming.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
They've been revealing all this stupid tape, and the CIA and FBI are releasing stuff that they've had for years. Just putting a little carrot out there to get us all ready for it.
Wouldn't be a bit surprised.
And there is no such thing. There is no life on other planets that's flying around our planet. It's all a scam. All the video you see, even the modern stuff today. There was the ship off the West Coast just few months ago, and everybody was talking about they were saying there was these blips out there, these triangle things, and why didn't they send a jet out there to see them? Yeah. I don't think they did.
Well,
but they showed us some video, and it was just like out of the 70s.
And some of the new aircraft that has been developed look like triangular Dan, but the gullible majority of our world.
Yeah.
Because they, number one, believe, have been sold the bill of good on evolution, believe these things to be real.
You cannot be a Bible believer.
I don't think
and
so.
Believe in these.
And I know we probably
Martians
have,
and stuff.
I know we probably have some of our people that are reading books by others that are Christian and have movements. I'm here to tell you, I don't see how you cannot believe and understand that this is a part of the end time deception.
It is.
To explain the rapture when we're out of here.
Yeah. And most of the valid UFO sightings that are actually an aircraft of some sort.
Or some kind of military thing.
Exactly. And I talk about that in the book. It's it's military stuff.
Or
and
some kind of technology that somebody's doing with light.
It goes all the way back to 1947. Yeah. I give illustrations of it in the book. Yeah. I prove it. It's always military testing stuff. And they're way ahead of Hollywood. They're way ahead of this stuff.
Oh, yes. And so you're saying that you think that in 2024 we're going to see
of
this?
I think it's something big is going to be thrown out there.
It's very possible.
And it's going to be on camera, and it's going to look good. And I love Tucker Carlson. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Tucker Carlson fan. Yeah. I could get on his show. I would like to help Tucker Carlson and his audience and give my view of this thing.
Right.
And I've written a book about UFOs, and I've got The Great End Time Distraction that also talks about it. I think Tucker Carlson is sincere. I think he is moving to the right all the time. He's growing. I think he may be a Christian.
It's
and I think he just needs to hear the other side of the UFO thing. And I think we could.
Well, I think we got a lot of in the Christian community need to hear it too as well.
But a lot of them won't hear. Their ears are stuffed up.
Their ears are stuffed. Well, that ties in with another thing that I have, and that is the increase of artificial intelligence with technology and how it's going to be able to be used in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because right now, with the artificial intelligence and technology that's already on being used, I mean, you could put somebody else's picture in my place right now.
Doc, I'm seeing videos and advertisements on my Facebook page, and I know that I know these people didn't do it.
Nope.
They're being used to sell a product, but it isn't them.
It's it.
That's scary.
And it's coming. They're moving towards transhumanism all the time. It's another thing you're going to hear a lot about.
And I had something about that as well. All I had was I saw an interview with Elon Musk, and he's right at the center of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just him, but
and he has inside knowledge about it.
I think he realizes if he backs off, the other guys are still going to do it, so he's staying in it.
Well, they're businessmen as well.
He made a statement, and I don't remember who interviewed him, but he said, within 3 years, AI will be godlike.
Yeah.
Now I don't know all that he meant there, but that's scary.
Well, I've been saying for a long time, for several years, that the final end time God that brings you to the Antichrist is actually going to be something to do with artificial intelligence.
By the way, 3 years puts you right around if 2030 is the middle, and I'm not saying it is, if. Then you back up. Somewhere in 2027 would be the rapture. That'd be your three-year mark. See, it's all coming together.
It is very much so, and I hope that the calendar's off, and I hope 2030 is actually on the calendar this year, and we're out of here.
Yeah.
But folks need to understand all of these things are going to lead to more and more obstacles and difficulties for humanity.
And I had more Christian persecution as well, and it's already happening.
Yes.
It's kind of cloaked in right-wing conservatives being attacked, but right along with that is Christian people.
Yeah.
And Christian people to the world includes Catholics, and they always talk about the Catholics getting attacked for praying the rosary beads and outside of the clinics, and I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah.
And but see, they look at them like they look at us.
Yeah.
They we put them all. We're all in the same little group.
It's like the verse I just read. You can stand outside of an abortion clinic and pray silently, and they'll want to put you in jail. But you can riot and burn down a pregnancy center to help young ladies, and nothing is wrong with it.
Well, you get ready for another one. Let me just throw this one out while you're getting another one here. And I hate to say this on television, but with all that's going on, all that we're hearing from politicians and news people about the danger of Donald Trump, they're saying he's the most dangerous threat to the world. He's a threat to democracy. He's a Hitler. And some of them are even saying someone needs to take him out.
Oh, yeah.
I believe there'll be an attempt on Donald Trump's life this year, this 2024, and they may succeed. I don't know.
They may.
I hope not. But God's in charge, and God either wants him to be.
It depends on. I think we got him the first time for a space of grace to slow down the globalism locomotion. But you're not going to stop that train. It's eventually going to get there.
Yeah.
can you imagine you hear these things all the time?
Can you imagine what will happen in America if somebody succeeds?
I think there's a group. I don't know if it's an entire party, but there are those entities, I believe, that are pushing to try to get America into a civil war so that they can declare all of the Constitution null and void and they can take over. They've already pretty well taken over if you haven't figured it out by now. And so I hope our folks don't take that bait.
They should have saw that in 2020.
Yes.
2021, January, when they put a fence around the Capitol, and you had just 100 people at the inauguration or whatever it was.
And now we know what we now we know for certain what we already suspicioned, that the trials of these individuals have all been based on doctored everything.
Yep. They have found they left out important pieces of video. They haven't turned over exculpatory evidence.
If you think it's a fair and just system, it's going to get worse.
What else you got? What do you got next, Doc?
Well, I believe that this year coming up, we're going to see the movement toward globalism on steroids.
Yeah,
I really do. I mean, almost every time you read some statement out of the World Economic Forum or some global elite movement, it's another more in-your-face something, and it's what we once thought was conspiracy theory is right there in front of you. It's not theory. It's reality. This is what we want to do. And I'm telling you, I'm convinced this year you're going to see the movement against nationalism.
Yep.
Back to the Trump thing, I'm not sure that the elites of the world, they're going to do everything to make sure he's not in way or the other.
They're calling nationalists a threat to the world.
That's it.
I mean, and that's,
because globalism cannot have nationalism.
Yeah.
It has to be a global socialist society.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm convinced this year there's going to be a major push in that direction.
I heard a report, and I don't know if they passed it or if they're working on it. The Senate, the Congress is supposedly they're either working on it or they passed it, a law that says that the president cannot withdraw from NATO, without Senate approval.
Yeah.
See, that's more globalism right there.
It's all globalism. I mean, you can talk about the Ukraine thing, and if you haven't figured out, folks, that the Ukraine thing is a way of bankrupting capitalism, and it's a way for the elite cronies that have been using it for a laundromat of their money, and they're trying to cover their tracks. I'm here to tell you, you've missed it.
Well, real quickly, I say this one every year. It's shocking to me. I wrote a chapter about the nuclear ticking clock. And it's shocking to me that nobody except America has ever dropped a nuke on anybody. It's almost like God has stayed everyone's hand somehow. But I see possibly a nuclear explosion somewhere in the world this year, maybe here in America, and tie that right in possibly with the coming cyber attack that everybody's talking about.
Oh,
they're all talking about. At any time now, the banks are going to be hit by a virus, cyber attack. All the banks are going to be shut down.
My wife just this week got a notice from her bank from her doctor's office that they had a cyber attack, didn't discover it for almost a year, and that All of her information was compromised. So now we're having to go through all this other stuff, trying to make sure everything is safe and all that. The internet is so slow in our area, you can't even hardly use it. It's worse than dial-up. Because somebody is
I'm worried about my $37 I've got in the bank. I mean, I don't want to lose that. You got to laugh a little bit, folks, or you'll go crazy. You got to. Yeah. Someone said, wisely said, don't take life so seriously. You're not going to get out of it alive anyway.
Amen.
And you got to laugh now and then.
But you're right. Cyber attack is going to be a major thing. Well, add to that.
We realize that your money is not paper anymore. Now, we still have
it's
paper
all electronic.
But
it's
if they wipe out your electronic balance, I mean, that could devastate the country.
Yeah. And but coupled with the cyber attack could actually be the connections in our world electronically because of solar activity. Or back to your nuclear thing. It wouldn't have to be a nuclear explosion down here.
Up in the
sky.
It
could be an EMP up here, and it would send America back to the Stone Ages. Yeah. How many people in America would know how to figure out how to have food to eat tomorrow if they didn't have it at the grocery store or at McDonald's?
All right, what else you got, Doc?
Well, I think you're going to see this year, number one, because this is an election cycle, and what happens in America affects the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to get ready this year for another pandemic of some kind. The World Health Organization has already, they've already lined it out, they already have it in their statements, that they are prepared between 2020 and 2030 to handle 10 pandemics. And now they have the authority.
I believe the world has given them the authority to shut down states and cities.
To shut down your whole nation.
Without any congressional votes or anything.
In other words, there could be no cases of whatever XYZ it's going to be in your town or even your state. But you're going to have to be under the protocols because something happened in Liberia, Africa.
So, Doc, we haven't talked about Ezekiel 38 yet.
I don't know. I believe Ezekiel 38 personally is going to happen really close to the time of the rapture and to the time of the beginning of the tribulation.
Yeah, I agree.
There's too many reasons for me to think that. So if we're that close to the rapture, which we certainly could be, the stage right now is being set. You can see just this week, Russia has posted their military now on the Syrian border by Israel. You've got every one of the major players. Turkey a couple of weeks ago pulled out of a NATO exercise, threatening to pull out of NATO. And if they pull out of NATO, which I'm convinced they sometime will, they then will be in alignment with all of these names in Ezekiel 38.
Now, we talked about in the update, I think, or maybe it was you and I talking behind off camera, about the submarines. Our submarines over there.
Right.
This is probably more about Russia than anything else.
I think it's more about Russia and China. We have these nuclear submarines. Some of them carry cruise missiles, and others of them carry nuclear missiles. And the Trident missile, I'm under the understanding that one tube, when that one tube is sent out, it has either 18 or 20 actual nuclear powerheads, each one of them individually guided to their destination.
Yeah.
Inside that one Trident missile is as much explosive power as all of the bombs combined dropped in World War II.
Yeah, by everybody. England,
by
America,
everybody.
Japan.
Germany, you name it, all of them added together. That's an unbelievable amount of power.
Yeah.
And right now it appears that rather than strategically placed around the world like they normally are at all times, they're gathering close together over that Middle East
area. And we know why. Biblically, we know why. That's where it's all happening.
That's where it's all about.
Is right there. Everybody wants Israel, and nobody's going to let somebody else get it.
Everybody wants Israel.
That includes us.
And, you know, I've always been a promoter of Zionism in the sense of, Zion belongs to Israel, and Israel needs to come back in her life. It's prophetic. But once again, folks, you need to understand, just because God said he's going to bring doesn't mean that Gentile rulers are not helping bring that about, because they want Jerusalem. Yeah. That's what the Crusades were all about. One side wanted it for themselves. The other side wanted it for themselves.
Yeah.
It's all about Jerusalem. It's the cup of trembling that Zechariah talked about.
Yeah. Now, the war in Israel, October 7th, began. That has really changed a lot of things.
It's changed the world.
Yeah.
Because you're watching, as we read a while ago, you're watching the heathen rage around the world for one of the most violent, wicked organizations. And people need to understand, if you call yourself a Palestinian, that you can do whatever you want to. There is no geographic place, actually, Palestine, other than what the Romans designated it in 134 B.C.
Yeah.
And the Jews have contact to the land all the way back to its inception time, with David taking over Jerusalem, and even before that, their presence was there.
Yeah.
They do not have, and they call it, they're occupying our, oh no, you're the ones occupying their land.
Yeah.
And we did a show on that recently.
We celebrate Christmas, which is about the birth of a Jew, the Messiah, in Bethlehem in Israel.
And sadly, Bethlehem closed down, didn't even have any exercises for it this year, out of sympathy to the Palestinians. Of course, you need to understand that the Bethlehem today belongs to the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Because it's not the Bethlehem of your Bible anyway.
And I've been to whatever that Bethlehem is. I just soon not go back there.
Yeah, well, it's not the real Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Another one is the geopolitically, the things that are going to take place on the world stage. I'm telling you, they're going to be on steroids. Now, we haven't talked about it, but we got just a little bit left. Let me tell you another one I think we're going to see this year. I think we're going to see some major changes in the climate, because everybody's wanting to save the climate, not us, but you know what that term means.
So they need some proof that they're right, because they haven't been right.
What you're going to see is, as Jesus has already said in Luke chapter 21, that there would be the increase of volcanic or earthquakes in diverse places. You're going to see the increase of it. And right now, you're watching new earthquakes, and I mean new volcanoes being formed. Right now, there's a place through Africa where the ground is splitting apart, and part of the eastern part of Africa is actually splitting off from the rest of the continent. And volcanic action is going to increase. The Lord's already told us that it was going to increase, and you're watching. This year, I'm confident, because this is another tool for the evolutionary crowd to promote their global agenda for saving planet Earth.
Yeah.
Well, time's about out.
Yeah. All right, we may try to hit a few more of these in another show. We didn't get as far as we'd like, but hopefully we got your attention. What does all this mean? This means you better be sure you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Yeah.
This also means you better make sure your family, you better talk to your family. Make sure your family's ready for what's coming, the rapture. And you better talk to Christian people. Pastors, you better talk to your church. And you better let them know bad stuff's coming. You better prepare like there's a bad storm coming, because there is. Worse than anything you can imagine. It's coming. And it may be here before the rapture. And you better be ready.
Yes.
All right. Well, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.